This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, here we go. We do this podcast thing. We do it daily. It's Monday, so we'll do a podcast. What's up, Al?
Oh, hi there, Jerry. This past the Saturday, we went into New York City.
I posted
on social medias a video of you and I in suits riding the Staten Island Ferry.
Yes.
It was my first time riding the ferry. It was a great idea by you, Jerry. Both of us were going solo to the Boomer Black Tie Affair.
Yep.
Had we had ladies with us, we probably wouldn't have taken them on the ferry because women in nice dresses just doesn't
fit. I agree.
But we took the ferry from Staten Island to Manhattan, and legitimately, from the time we got off the ferry to the time we were at the place we needed to go was a couple minutes.
Yeah, max.
Nothing. It was perfect.
Yep.
It was great.
Yep.
And I got to say, were there kind of weirdos on the Staten Island ferry? Yes, there were.
There were a couple.
But very nice police presence,
yes.
I thought.
Yes, 100%.
I felt safe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you as well feel safe?
Yeah.
Mainly because you were with me and I could protect us?
No, the police presence, for sure. And it was, there were a couple of questionable people, but for the most part, everybody looked like they were just going into Manhattan.
Yeah.
A nice, normal crowd was fine.
Yeah, that was interesting. One, the city of New York City is, they will nickel and dime you for everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Staten Island Ferry is free?
Even the parking is cheap. I paid, what, $2 an hour?
I don't understand.
I don't either. It's one thing I've never got, and I know I only thought of doing that last year because several years back I drove a friend of mine to the ferry. And I had heard of it, but I didn't know about it or where it was. So I dropped him off, and I remember him telling me it was free, and I'm like, oh, okay, but there's no parking. He goes, oh, there's a parking lot right down there. He's got a... not a lot of spots, but if you go on a weekend, you can usually get a spot. And so when I thought of it last year, I remember looking it up to make sure it was still free, to make sure the ferry wasn't going to stop running at 10 p.m. And I'm like, 24 hours a day, twice an hour, sometimes three and four times. I'm like, there's got to be a catch to this. And there's not.
No catch.
No.
Yeah, runs all night long. Very strange.
Like, like you could charge a dollar for that.
Yeah.
Easily. And I'm not saying $8, $12. I guess once you start charging, though, the rates go up. So it's great that it's free, but it's surprising.
It should cost as much as a subway ride.
I don't disagree
with that. Which
who
even knows what that costs these days?
I don't. It used to be. Last time I did a subway ride, it was $2.50. I don't know if that's what it is anymore.
Last time I did it, Jerry, it was a quarter. That's how long ago, the 1920s, I hopped on subway. Yeah, so that was nice. Also, you know, driving through Staten Island, I drove to your house.
Yep.
And then you drove us to Staten Island.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like NYPD in Staten Island, and it still doesn't register to me. Staten Island feels like its own thing.
Right, that it's not part of New York.
Yeah.
I know.
That like, yeah, that they should have a different police force, not
feels
NYPD.
Feels more like Jersey than it does New York.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, a little strange.
It's different.
A little strange, Jerry.
It's
that's
kind of
Staten
on its own
Island.
Over there.
But yeah, people were like, you idiots, why didn't you take the C Streak? The C Streak is expensive.
I've never taken it. I don't even know. Is it expensive?
It's expensive.
I have no idea. Okay.
It's nowhere near where we were going in Manhattan.
Right.
By the way, the C Streak, I think, is like $30.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's like, that's a little much.
It's
not that much more luxurious than the Staten Island Ferry.
And before people criticize why we didn't use this, use that.
Yeah.
The only reason I ever did this last year was because 2 years ago, when I left the event and I looked to my left and I saw literally within 100 steps was the ferry, like, why would I not do this? I'm not looking to get out off a ferry and take a cab.
Right.
Like, that was the beauty of it, that I didn't have to drive into Manhattan and fight traffic and parking and all that crap.
Yeah.
Or valet or any of that nonsense.
It was absolutely the right thing to do, Jerry.
It was awesome.
You nailed it. They serve. This is the other thing, the difference between New Jersey and New York transportation. Yeah. In New York, you could just buy drinks. Like, oh, you're at the Staten Island Ferry, you want a beer?
As I did.
Right there. It's like if you go on the Long Island Railroad, you could just buy a beer.
Mm.
You can't do that for New Jersey Transit.
If you buy a beer at Penn Station, you can take it on the train. They ain't not gonna say anything.
Yeah, but they like are like on the Long Island Railroad, they're selling beers on the landing in between.
Oh, really? I haven't been on LIRR. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have like beer stands.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, I like my beer stand the other night.
Yeah.
Had a nice 24-ounce Modelo.
You got a gigantic beer.
That was a good start to my night.
Oh, yeah, Jerry. You were relaxing.
Yeah, it was good.
So we had a good time there.
Yeah.
We were talking about Hooters today on the show. And it reminded me, when I was living in Florida, I knew the man who invented Hooters. He was a local Clearwater, Florida. Mm-hmm. That's where the very first Hooters was, in Clearwater. And there used to be a radio show down there called Hooters on the Radio. It was two Hooters women, former Hooters.
Right.
With a Fez Watley of the old Ron and Fez show.
You're kidding.
He hosted. It was great. It was a midday show.
Right.
It was terrific. Very funny show. Hooters on the Radio, it was called. But because I knew that guy down there and I worked on the radio, he would give me a Hooters VIP card.
The lap dances in the back with your chicken wings?
No lap dances. But the Hooters card, it looked like a credit card, although it wasn't swipeable. Mm. And it had my name on it like a credit card would, you know, in that indented writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would say, this person, chop this person's bill in half.
Wow.
So you would give it to the waitress at the end of the night. It included alcohol, everything.
Damn.
That's pretty, in half.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Until you tried to use it at Hooters that were not in Florida. Because they didn't know what it was. I remember one time we went to a Ravens game. Me, my brother-in-law, two of my friends.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah.
You went to a Baltimore Ravens game?
Yeah. When I first moved back, we went to a Bucks Ravens game.
Wow.
Yeah. We were like, let's go do a road trip. Could you imagine me telling you this
now?
This
is when Al was exciting and actually like doing things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't imagine you telling me that now.
I was like, we're going to go. There was a Hooters at the Inner Harbor. I said, we're going to go to Hooters. 50% off card. We're going to have a great time. Jerry, we were eating. We were drinking. More wings. I hand them my Hooters VIP card. They're like, what is this? Like, oh, 50% off.
Like something you made in your garage.
The manager came out. He goes, I'm not honoring this. He goes, I don't even know what this is. I go. I know the Hooters guy. He goes, yeah, these are all independently owned and operated. Yeah.
Right. Why am I taking a $90 off your bill?
Yeah, so we paid full price.
No fight.
That was the end of that fun that I was having. My Hooters card was no good.
The worst part about using like coupons or gift certificates, or especially if it didn't come from the place itself. You don't know, and it's so embarrassing. Then.
Right. Oh, very embarrassing.
In a case like that, you've got to feel like this big.
Well, when the girl first saw it, I was like, oh, she's new. What does she know, these VIP cards? And then the manager came out, and he was like, I ain't honoring this, you loser.
Now pay and get out of my store. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, loser, that you're in Hooters so much that you get a half-off card.
That's fair.
Man.
That's funny.
Man, oh, man. I watched, you know, you've talked to me about this Axis TV, I think. Was it Axis TV or what's the, that's the music channel?
Yeah.
So I happened to catch on YouTube, you know, Dan Rather was doing a show on there.
Yeah, an interview show.
Yeah, and on the YouTube, there's a whole bunch of clips of Dan Rather talking to musicians about their big hits.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, my gosh, it's so great.
It looks like he stopped doing them right before the pandemic, if you look at the dates of the shows.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done one since the pandemic.
So I was looking at them yesterday because they're only like, some of them are 3 minutes, some are 5 minutes. All sorts of things. So he's got Bryan Adams about the song Summer of 69.
Yes.
Do you see this?
I have seen this.
So he says the song was supposed to be called Best Days of My Life, because that's the chorus. Those are. But Bryan Adams says that he says 69 to use it as the sex joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was part of him saying Summer of 69.
Going to be catchy.
He thought, I want to use the sexual innuendo.
Yep.
I thought that was so crazy.
Mm-hmm. Because we all wondered, is there anything to it? And then he tells you, yes, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
He said summer of 69 was because of the sexual position.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Rather being,
I know,
you think is a stuffy Dan Rather.
America's like, newsman.
Is that right? 69. What is this now, the 69? Then he had like Carly Simon on.
That I haven't seen.
Talking about the song You're So Vain. It's really good.
He had Huey Lewis on too. Very good.
Yeah, I was blasting through all of them.
Yeah.
And then I'm like looking for new ones.
And those are, if you watch the episodes, they're an hour.
Really?
Now, there's commercials, obviously, so it's probably more like 42 minutes. But they're great, and they're done, at least in my opinion, the ones I've seen, they're done in a way that leaves you wanting like more. Like, you want to see another episode. Like, I didn't feel like he got to everything in the hour. They're good. I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, like I said, there are no new ones. I don't even know if he's working anymore, Dan.
Yeah.
He's got to be like 80-something, no?
I just love these learning about songs that you've listened to your whole life and then learning something new.
Yep.
Like yesterday I learned Summer of 69, a song I've listened to so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing that other part.
Now, next time you hear Summer of 69, will you think of yourself doing a 69?
No, I'm not a fan of 69. That's a weird...
Steve Summers is.
That's a weird angle, the 69. I don't want to see anything even near the butt. You know what I mean, Jerry?
I do.
I don't want to see that.
I understand.
Disgusting. I don't think people are really 69ing. I think that's a thing.
Oh, I do. I disagree with that.
I think that's something that's for newer couples. I don't think someone who's been married 10 years is 69ing their wife.
Time out of... Well, they better not be.
What do you mean?
Oh, they said someone else.
No.
Oh. Well, if you remember, Eddie looked it up, and they were doing this back in the 100 years ago.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, to see some of these sexual positions from, like, Egyptian
hygiene
times.
Was great.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Must have been a lot of vomiting back then.
Well, you got to think back then. Vaginas were smelly. Ball sacks were smelly. Breath was smelly. B.O. was smelly. I bet you your nose was just like
numb.
So numb, yeah, to all these disgusting smells. Dead carcasses all over, you know, dead animal carcasses.
That you would pick up to cook.
Yeah, and they'd be in decomposing bodies. Your neighbors would pass away and you didn't know what to do with their bodies. Would just be decomposing back in the caveman days.
Disgusting humans have been.
Oh, man.
Like, we're living in a good time.
Oh, yeah, we've cleaned it up.
My God, does that sound terrible.
We have really cleaned it up.
Ugh. And then you look at, like, Little House on the Prairie, which is, like, you know, based in the, like, late 1800s. Yeah. And they had all these kids. I guess you had nothing else to do.
No.
Just bang away.
And they weren't, religiously, they weren't using birth control.
That's true,
too. So then they would just be like, if God wants us to have a baby, we are having a baby.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You said cavemen. Did you see the news story in Time Magazine, I think it was, or Time.com? I mean, not the magazine itself, but on their website, that they have, and this is fascinating to me, two things I saw over the weekend that blew me away. One, I think in Egypt, they unearthed it would have been a dwelling with paintings from thousands of years ago that because of the way it got covered from whatever, however, there were new layers of earth, I don't know, that are like intact, which is just...
On walls or an actual
still attached to the, I guess, mud-based walls. I don't even know what they'd be on, but they found those that are thousands of years old. That is just sick to me that they found that. And then there was one this weekend I read that says the idea of the caveman... they were a little bit more advanced than we think and much more closer to us because they found and unearthed wherever this was what is similar to the way we build rooms and houses so that it wasn't like people, they just lived in a cave. Like, there were different rooms.
Made dividers,
the
walls.
Yes, to where you could tell from the artifacts they found, like, this is where they ate. This is where they laid down. And it was very much the way we live. Crudely.
Right.
But they still had the differentiating walls and like almost a home, like the way we build our homes. Very interesting.
The caveman was like, here's our TV room.
Yes, basically. And I love when they say this, like, probably 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, based on 10, what?
10,000 years ago. Like, it's just, it's yeah, nuts.
That is nuts.
Pretty wild.
I love caveman stuff.
If I find it again, I'll tweet out the article because it was a very interesting read. Very interesting read.
I watched I get very angry with recycling.
Yes, I've heard that. Yes,
we have all these things and we don't really recycle. Mm-hmm. And even though we think we're doing good in recycling, we're not really recycling because the stuff doesn't get recycled.
Yeah. It's all a show, apparently.
Yeah, it's all a show. So I'm seeing another. I was watching this documentary on, it was on Max, and it was about a clothing store that sells what they call fast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This is like they sell cheaper clothing, made kind of cheap, but knowing that it's for a younger audience. This is for teenage girls. And they would, wear the clothing, toss it, buy new stuff, toss it, all this stuff. But it was talking about this phrase they call fast fashion, which is cheap clothing that then gets discarded. And this idea that when we take this clothing that we have and we put it in the bins for the poor,
yeah,
that it doesn't, we're doing the same thing to their clothing, what we're doing with recycling. We're taking these things of clothing and shipping them to another country and just littering their places where they live with all of our old clothing.
So they're not going to the poor and to people that need it?
A lot of it is not going to the, because there's so much of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why are they, all kidding aside, then why do we see videos and news stories on people that are walking around with no shoes, no shirts?
I don't know. It's a great question because there was the name of the documentary was called Brandy Hellville. It's because it was based on this store called Brandy Melville.
Uh-huh.
So for whatever reason, they named it Brandy Hellville. And part of it's about the way the store was run, but the larger story about it is what we do with all this clothing that we have and dispose of. There was a coastline in Ghana that it'd be like the entire line of Jersey Shore beaches covered in 2 feet of fabric of old shirts. And
wow.
It was very disturbing to see.
What the hell are we doing
then? I don't know.
And like, you get tax breaks for donating clothes and stuff like that because they're encouraging you to not throw it away, to donate it. And you're telling me it's not going anywhere.
Some of it is. Like, I guess it depends. I don't know if they get so much of it that it's like we send them to these other countries that they'll pay us to get rid of our clothing, and then they just dump it on their people.
Wow.
It was really weird. Then this other part of Ghana where they had all this clothing, there were these huge open markets that looked like a giant flea market that was just all our used clothing.
That they're selling.
Well, what they're doing is they'll take some of the shirts and stuff. Like, let's say it's a plain shirt.
Yeah.
Then you got these guys that have screen printing. So they're screen printing famous logos, like a Nike logo on a random T-shirt, and then they'll sell it as like a Nike.
Like a branded shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have so much. I just don't know where all of the trash is going that we have.
Yes, I know.
Right?
It's a good question for a garbage guy.
Yeah.
For a guy in waste management type of field, because at some point, you can't burn it all. You can't bury it. And apparently we're not recycling enough of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out what we do with all the dead bodies.
Correct.
You know, going to run out of room at some point, no?
I would think so.
You know, I don't know.
And people always say, when I've brought that up, and people be like, you ever take a flight across the country, you see how much empty land there is? But if my grandmother dies here, she's being buried here. Mm-hmm. She's not getting buried in Indiana in some farmland.
You wouldn't think so.
So all of us in this area, when we die, we all get buried here.
I guess that's why being cremated is an option.
Cremated.
Mausoleums have become an option. So, yeah.
It's very weird. There was another thing, too. You know how, like, when you try to, like, buy stuff from America, like clothing?
Yeah.
Very difficult to find.
Yeah. To buy American-made?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll see a lot of stuff would be, like, China, mm-hmm. Vietnam.
Yeah.
So if you saw something with a label made in Italy,
mm-hmm.
there's this idea that, oh, this is a fine piece of clothing.
I would think so,
made
yeah.
in Italy. So another thing this documentary is talking about was that a lot of people from China moved to Italy, and they took with them these sort of the factories like they're run in China. So they're making clothing the same way they make clothing in China, but doing it in Italy and slapping the Made in Italy sticker.
Well, they are making it in Italy.
Right. But they're doing it the same way through sweatshops.
And still not paying people anything.
Correct.
So it's interesting you say that, because when I think of like places like Italy and France and Sweden, I don't think they have immigrants.
Right.
I just assume it's all Italians there and all
Correct,
Swedish
right.
people and all French people. I always think of America like that.
Right.
And then to sit there and say that the Chinese are moving into Italy to open up warehouses, and it's interesting. And you would think wouldn't the government get involved somehow with that?
I would think so.
I mean, if they're doing a documentary that's making it known what they're doing, don't you have to go in and say, you can do this, but you got to pay these people?
Well, someone else in this documentary was claiming that no matter where your clothing says it comes from, including the United States of America,
mm-hmm.
it is being made by people in sweatshops. In some way or another, they're still being...
Yeah,
they're still in factories that are run like sweatshops, even in America.
Wow.
What am I supposed to wear, Jerry?
Leaves to cover your balls and your penis.
So show up here tomorrow in a leave outfit. Leave outfit is what you're saying.
It's a tough thing to answer. I'm not in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
I know my dad was for, 40 years whatever it was. You can't compete. Like, you can't sell a T-shirt for $93. There's nobody in their right mind that's going to buy just a regular T-shirt for $90 when you can buy the same or a better quality shirt for $30 or $25. I mean, that's the problem you run into. So I think, like, the idea, you would have to have a president, a regime come in and incentivize you to, and I don't know, you can't even do this, but... to where open up a clothing factory in Iowa, and for every shirt you sell, we'll kick you back 60% so that you can have competitive rates. Otherwise, no one's going to buy your product.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird. So I did some Googling yesterday, and I was looking for American-made shirts. You know, the T-shirt was $85.
$85. How could it not be? With, we pay people, I don't even want to say livable wages, because minimum wage is not livable, really. It's maybe for a single kid who's 18, but it ain't livable for a guy with a family. So if you're going to pay real wages, I don't know how you get that number down.
Yeah, that was the one thing, we've talked about this before in watching Shark Tank.
Yeah.
We both enjoy watching Shark
Tank.
Yeah,
I do.
And, these entrepreneurs would come in with a great idea, and one of the things they always wanted to do, and we're going to make this in America.
Yeah.
And we make this in America. And then one of the sharks, Mark Cuban or whatever, would say, what's it cost you to make one of those? And they'll be like, cost me $2.95. They go, okay, we got to get that down to 33 cents.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now it's being made in China.
Correct. Yeah. How about, so Lucky, you love Lucky Jeans.
Lucky Jeans, yeah.
I just Googled brand. This because if you would ask me American-made apparel, that's the first thing that pops into my head is Lucky. So this says, prior to 2010, most Lucky products were manufactured in the USA. They are currently made, that's 14 years ago now. They are currently made in Indonesia, China, Peru,
yep.
Chile, Vietnam, Mexico, Sri Lanka, and Haiti.
And here's the thing. I have Lucky brand T-shirts from back then.
Yeah.
Still, the newer stuff that I had bought is all gone already.
Because it's cheap.
Crap.
Yes, it's cheap.
Crap, crap, crap.
I know. Isn't that something?
Man.
Wow.
I don't know what the answer is, Jerry, but you and I don't have it.
I gave you the answer, and I don't think it's feasible. Now, all right, now this is Lucky Brand. Now, as of 2022, it says Lucky Brand to relaunch Made in the USA.
But do we trust it?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I don't trust anything, Jerry. I don't trust anything about anything.
I know.
The end.
It's hard to, unless it's you doing it.
Yeah.
You don't know what to believe and what not to believe.
Yeah. I don't believe anything.
Me neither.
I'm sick of everything. I can't believe anything.
Like, I will tell you the, not to plug our stuff, but when I do, you know, when I create things on Printify, like, I make sure every company that I use is in America. But that doesn't mean the clothes are being made in America.
Right.
It means the company is here. They print in America. Like, their printing factories are in America. But I'm sure they're buying the, I would think they're buying the clothes from overseas.
Yeah.
So like a t-shirt company that I use. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Custom Ink, I think, is one that I will use sometimes on Printify. I think that's one. If not, I'm confusing it. But point is, I will only use American companies that are in America, and mostly too, because the shipping is just much cheaper, obviously. My guess would be you have a printing company, but you're buying all the apparel in bulk from overseas. I would think, to be quite honest. It's got to be, though. Otherwise, how are we doing, you know, Al and Jerry shirts for $28? We couldn't.
Yeah, but even that sounds crazy. Like, to say, to do it right, the right way in America, we'll make it a $90 t-shirt. That sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Like, why is it $90?
Because of the labor. Because there, if they're getting paid $1 an hour, as opposed to here, minimum wage is $20 an hour. So theoretically, everything's going to be, I'm not saying 20 times, but it's going to cost you 4 or 5 times in terms of what you're selling it for. It has to.
Man, and I saw videos of, like, people working in the factories. Oh, yeah. What a miserable existence.
Well, and here's the other thing about that. Like, yes, insurance. In America, if you have a full-time employee, you've got to offer them full-time benefits. You know what that costs. Like, you are with work. Think of how much you have to spend for benefits. I can tell you right now, the company is spending more than that on your benefits. So $20 an hour minimum plus benefits as opposed to $1 an hour. I ain't saying it's right. It's awful, but that's the way of the world right now.
Yeah.
It has been for years, and I don't know how it changes.
I need to become a minimalist with my clothing, Jerry. Get rid of all my clothing and just pick a few pieces of American-made $90 t-shirts, Jerry.
That's it, huh? Just wear the same thing every other day.
Yeah, I just got to just keep washing it. Wash, wash, wash.
Okay.
All right, Jerry, let's do the warm-up show.
Right.
Tomorrow, you're back in your update spot.
I am.
Boomer will be back from his colonoscopy, and Gio will be here, and then we'll see you at 5 a.m. So.